Our gospel lesson continues in the Gospel of John, chapter 21. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." And they said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat. But that night, they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach. But the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" And they answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." And so they cast it. And now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished with breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Then he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he had said to him a third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. And after this, he said to him, "Follow me." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Thanks. The Gospel of John is sort of the infomercial of Gospels. Last week, we ended chapter 20 with this big conclusion after the story of Doubting Thomas. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, John writes. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. But wait, there's more. And now we have chapter 21. Only there's a gap in between, right? When Jesus appeared to the disciples in the locked room that first Sunday of the resurrection, and then again a week later, it's in an upper room in the big city of Jerusalem. a bustling place of economics and government and religion. And now in chapter 21, Jesus makes his final appearance to the disciples in the gospel, back up north, in the Galilean region, as remote and rural as the North Woods are to Madison, though only about 70 miles away or so. It's not really clear how the disciples ended up heading back home. It probably wasn't time travel, I would agree. It was probably walking. It definitely wasn't driving. But they did head back to Galilee, even after Jesus told them to stay in Jerusalem. Maybe it had something to do with the noise in Jerusalem, the shouts of those in the marketplace selling their goods, the general buzz that happens when so many people are packed into a small space. Maybe it had something to do with the expense of it all. Why keep renting space in an upper room, camping out in the city, when one could go back home again? Maybe they missed the water, the breeze, the wide open space. Maybe they just missed home. Whatever the reason, they head back north to the security of the familiar. And when they get there, Peter, that blessedly wide open disciple, says he's going fishing. Why not? When things get shaken up, what better for the disciples to do than the most familiar thing of all? Fish. And so they head out into the water, dropping the net again and again, coming up empty-handed. Until just after daybreak, that is. Just after daybreak, close enough to the shore that they can hear him, a stranger knows they've been unsuccessful. Children, you have no fish, do you? No, they admit, although they probably had some other choice thoughts for the fellow standing on the shore. Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. Sure, buddy, they probably thought, half-heartedly tossing the net onto the other side of the boat. Ta-da, the mother lode. And ta-da, Jesus is recognized by the beloved disciple. He whispers to Peter with a knowing look on his face, "It is the Lord." Startled, Simon Peter throws some clothes on, since he was fishing naked, and swims to shore. We'll come back to that. It's interesting, I know. And the rest of the disciples head in the last 100 yards on the boat, dragging in the net full of fish with them. They get to shore and there's a nice campfire set up for them, complete with a fisherman's breakfast. They haul in 153 fish that are in the net. We're not coming back to that. I have no idea why 153. And they sit down to breakfast on the beach. After breakfast, Jesus turns to Simon Peter. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus says to him, "Feed my lambs." Well, that's an interesting little exchange. But that's Jesus for you, always a little mysterious. And before Peter has much more time to contemplate what he means, Jesus asks again, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," he repeats, "you know that I love you. Tend my sheep." Okay, that's just weird. But again, before Simon Peter has more time to ponder, Jesus asks a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" If Peter's face was puzzled up until this point, now it turns absolutely downcast. He doesn't really hide what he's thinking very well, you know. This is the same guy who starts planning a camping trip at the Transfiguration, and he's the guy who cuts off the guy's ear in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter is hurt at this third round of the question. "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus says, "Feed me. my sheep." I wonder how long it took Peter to realize that three times Jesus gave him the call, three times that likely paralleled the three times that Peter denied Jesus the night before the crucifixion. Three times while standing next to a charcoal fire in a courtyard, Peter claimed not to know Jesus at all. And now, three times, next to a charcoal fire, Jesus restores his call for Peter. He reminds Peter what Peter seems to have forgotten, that love is to be lived out in action, feeding and tending the people so loved by God. It would be easy to make a mockery of the disciples, those country kids who go back home just when they're supposed to get down to the real task of business of answering God's call. It would be easy to poke fun that they fished all night on the same side of the boat and got nothing, but never thought to drop the net on the other side. It would be easy to chuckle at naked Peter throwing on clothes before jumping into the water, or point out how thick he must have been, not to see the connection between three denials and three affirmations of call. All those things would be easy targets for joking if we didn't have the same bad habits. How often do we go to what is comfortable and familiar when we're stretched out of our comfort zone? How many times have we tried to take the easy route back to the safety of the familiar, longing for days that are long past? And yet Jesus comes to us, meeting us right in our comfort zone and gently calling us back to the journey filled with loving action. Do you love me? Feed my lambs. How often do we get stuck in a rut fishing on only one side of the boat? I mean, fishing this lake worked before, right? Let's just keep doing what we're doing and hope that what was done before will work the same, without consideration to whether or not it's actually working. Forget that maybe a little perspective might help. Forget that perhaps, maybe, a new direction might be important. But there's Jesus, standing there with wisdom and a new sense of direction, if we would listen to his voice. And how about this naked fishing? When do you take your clothes off? When you're safe? When you're home? When you're with your trusted partner? Most of us, thanks be to God, only end up naked in awkward situations, in stress nightmares, right? I wonder if being naked, being that vulnerable in front of Jesus, the one with whom Peter had broken relationship by denial, was Peter's stress nightmare come to life. I wonder if he put on clothes for the sheer fact that he couldn't stand in front of Jesus without some sort of protection. After all, Peter's not the first person in the Bible to put on clothes after breaking relationship with God. Adam and Eve felt the same need to cover up, yes? And yet, even when we have broken relationship with God, even with exposed vulnerability, Jesus continues to gently and graciously remind us of our loving call to action. Tend my lambs. Speaking of that broken relationship, sometimes it isn't easily mended. Sometimes we have to hear that call from Jesus again and again and again. Sometimes we have to hear it 3 times. Sometimes we have to hear it 10 times. Some of us have to hear it 70 times 7 times. But even so, there stands Jesus asking again and again and again for our love. And to live that love in action, feed my sheep. Jesus' gracious presence in this passage is an echo from Psalm 30. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. His gentle and gracious presence back with the disciples reminds them of their joy in God. Except, sometimes it's not all joy, actually. Because we can't just ignore that little part about what happened to Peter. Very truly, I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go. We can't just ignore that sometimes God's call, as grace-filled as it may be, involves something dying in order for there to be a resurrection. The joy part is that God will still meet us wherever we are, will still summon us to follow him, will still remind us again and again and again that the love of God that we profess must be shown in action. Our mourning is turned to dancing when we realize that even when we run back to what's comfortable, instead of following the path of the faith journey, even when we deny Jesus or feel vulnerably bare in the relationship, Jesus still calls us. Sure, sometimes we have to listen over and over and over again to really hear God's call. Sometimes we have to switch our nets over to the other side of the boat to see what's over there. Sometimes we have to reconnect more deeply with Jesus, even in uncertainty. Sometimes something must die in order for God to create resurrection joy. But God still calls each of us where we are, summoning us to loving action. Do you love Jesus? Feed his sheep. Serve others. Help nourish the people around you. Some days, maybe literally, by serving breakfast at the men's shelter or giving food to those in need. To love others in action. Some days, it's figuratively, by providing soul nourishment, by sharing the ways you are thankful for God and have experienced God in your life, sharing hope and peace and love. Do you love Jesus? Tend his sheep. Pay attention to the people around you, not looking through or past them, but being present to them, caring, listening, bearing one another's burdens. Do you love Jesus? Feed his sheep. God's call is not an extraordinary call made only to ministers and missionaries, but to everyday fishermen and business people, teachers and parents, retirees and accountants. It's not on a mountaintop, but over breakfast. It's not with harsh rebuke, but from a God who loves us so very much that this God will become as close to us in shape and form as possible so that we can connect one human to another. This call is not complicated. It is simply to love and serve, to feed and tend, to provide and support for all of God's beloved creation, following Jesus. May we listen and respond. Amen.